What happens to those that reject God's word and blow off God's people and rebel with foolish pride? Destruction. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before. Don't be that person.
Pastor Brett Metter with the Lord's warning over arrogance in favor of obedience.
Watch out for pride and arrogance. The Edomites are a symbol of what not to do. Let us learn the lesson of humility as a nation. They lived large for 400 years, but then eventually they ended in doom.
The people of Edom had treated Israel poorly for years, and the time had finally come for God to punish them for their bad behavior. As Pastor Brett Metter delivers a study of the book of Obadiah in today's Word, we'll see what dishonorable deeds Edom had committed against God's children to bring about their own doom, and why it's not a good idea to be hostile toward his people, Israel.
The book of Obadiah, it's got kind of a heavy theme, but it's a good reminder for us of what not to do. In fact, the theme of the book of Obadiah is the doom of Edom. Edom sort of gets a record in the Bible. It's not the record you'd want to have, but of all the nations, you know, if you think about all the nations God talks about in the Bible that he's going to judge and pour out his wrath upon, he talks a lot about Israel because they're his children, the children of Israel and their rebellion. So you do get a lot about the judgment of Israel and Judah and the northern 10 tribes, Ephraim. But who gets the second most judged and talked about nation of God's wrath being poured out on them? As it turns out, the Edomites, more than anybody else. Obadiah sums it up all in a nutshell, why they're given to such doom. And he's going to explain why all this is going to go down the way it is and stuff. So let's take a look. Verse 1, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye and let us rise up against her in battle. Man, when the Lord says, hey, we're going to rise up in battle against, you got a problem. God's raising up battle against you. But look what the Lord says in verse 2. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. And then the Lord's going to list seven sins of the Edomites. Here's the seven reasons why the Lord says, I'm going to thump you. It's because of these seven sins. And the first sin is that most dastardly of sins, according to the Bible, the sin of pride. And we see that in verses 3-6. It says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, that thou dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that's Petra, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though you exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? This is King James' way of saying, you guys are prideful. You know, you're big. You think you're big like the eagle or nesting among the stars. But he says, I'm going to bring you down from your high horse. And so this issue of pride is what the Lord says is the first thing that's wrong. And by the way, of all the sins, pride seems to be one of the most dastardly. Proverbs 6, verse 16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, that's the very first thing. And then the rest of it's pretty bad as well. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brothers. But isn't it interesting? The very top of the list is a proud look. That's the problem with the Edomites. They had a proud look. But also, notice it says, the pride in thy heart hath deceived thee. Do you understand that self-conceit is nothing but self-deceit? When you think of yourself more highly than you should, that's called pride, but you're deceiving your own self, the Bible says. Well, that was the Edomites. A good warning for us to beware of. Be careful of this issue of pride. The Lord hates that. And this is the first sin of the Edomites that God says, this is why you're going down. You're prideful. The second sin of Edom is they were ganging up on Israel. The word here is they made a confederation or a confederacy of nations. They'd stir up other nations against Israel and sort of tag team to thump on the people of Israel. Verse 7 says, "And all the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau?" That understanding out of the mount of Esau is, remember the intellectual part of the Edomites I was talking about? And the Lord says, you're very smart, but I'm going to destroy your smartness. That's what he's saying there. Verse 9, "And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter." That is strong words against these Edomites. You're going to be slaughtered. And it's not just anybody, your mightiest of men. There's a Hebrew word that's interesting. When you look it up in the Hebrew, the word here for dismayed in the King James, there's no English word that's the equivalent of the Hebrew word, but the Hebrew word is a very strong and kind of horrifying word. If you look it up in the dictionary, the word that's used there literally means terrified, shattered, and broken. And this is the mightiest of it. It'd be like, can you imagine like our toughest soldiers, like our SEAL Team 6? And you find a SEAL Team 6 guy who's shattered, terrified, and broken. That's what the Lord said. That's what's going to happen to your mightiest of soldiers, he says to the Edomites. Pretty heavy. Because you've ganged up on Israel, the Lord's saying, I'm going to take your mightiest and your smartest out of the Edomites. The third sin of Edom was violence. And I'm not going to say just any violence. They were particularly violent against the Jews. The whole Bible records that, by the way, all the Edomites and their dealings with the Jews. They were just violent toward them. And it says that here, right here in verse 10. "For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them." You were like the Babylonians who crushed the Jews, Edom, or the Assyrians who came and killed Jews and dragged them off into captivity with hooks in their noses. They're getting blamed. The Edomites are saying, basically the Lord's saying, you did all this stuff too, just like the other nations, but your violence against your brother Jacob, shame's gonna cover you because of that. By the way, the interesting thing, but speaking of Hebrew words, the word violence in Hebrew is Hamas. Isn't that interesting? Now, the people of Hamas, their name in Arab, you know, or the Palestinians don't think of it as violence, but that's what it is. It's kind of funny that that's the Hebrew word for violence, Hamas. And boy, the Jews have been, whether it's the Edomites or the Hamas shooting rockets, the Jews have been the victims of violence their whole existence from the time of Pharaoh all the way to the present day. Interesting. And the Lord says, I see the violence, Edom, that you have carried out against my people. I need you to remember, and this is important, this should be something that should determine how even we as Christians think about the political world and who we're voting for and stuff like that. Remember, the Lord says, I will judge the nations according to how they treated my people, the Jews. There's actually a judgment. You know, there's a great white throne judgment. There's the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. But there's also the judgment of the sheep and the goats. And remember what that is. That's when God says, I'm going to separate out the nations that treated my people good, and I'm going to separate the nations that treated my people bad. And it's not going to be good for the nations that treated them badly. Where did all this start? Well, way back in what I told you about Genesis 12, let's revisit that. The Abrahamic covenant, where God made a covenant with Abraham. He said, now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them or him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Isn't it interesting, that last sentence in this verse of the blessing to Abraham? It says, in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, the question is, how are the Jews going to bless all the families of the earth? Jesus. That's always the right answer, right? The Jews gave us the Messiah, Jesus. By the way, you could make an argument for that. That's the biggest and most powerful one, of course. But isn't it interesting if you look at what the Jews have contributed to science and medicine, comedy and art, technology and math, and like some of the brightest thinkers of the world were Jewish people because they're God's blessed people. But at the same time, so much of the world hates them. And the Lord says, listen, I'm watching. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And the Edomites are the personification of this truth. The Edomites were a curse to the Jews from their very beginning to their very end. And the Lord says, I saw all that, and because of that, you're gonna get crushed. So just a reminder, God cares about his people and he loves the Jews. Don't be one of those people that are against the Jews. God says, I will see that. Well, that brings us to number four on our list of sins of Edom. The next thing they did is they were rejoicing in Israel's destruction. Look at verse 12. It says, but thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. So there's that pride again. They were magnifying themselves. When the Jews were in distress, they were celebrating. What is it about people today? Even today, if Jews are hurt or killed, there's still nations that celebrate in the streets. If an IDF Israeli soldier gets taken by, you know, on the northern border by, you know, Lebanon or Syria, or down south by Gaza Strip, man, there's a whole group of Muslim nations that will start celebrating in the streets. But the Lord says, when you do that against my people Israel, whether it's the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or ISIS, or like there's fundamentalist Muslims who want to see death all over the globe. And the problem is, they're the ones who were celebrating when Jews are hurt. And the Lord says, man, I see when you're doing that celebrating. It's interesting. Anti-Semitism is raging right now in the world. And this is something we should know about. And it is a sign of the times. But the reason this is so important for you and me is we're watching this happen. But the thing that God says about the Edomites, he says, you guys are going to be crushed. Because not only were you mean to my people, but you rejoiced when they were killed or taken off into captivity. And I saw that. And I'm going to deal with you because of that. So the sin of rejoicing at their peril and their destruction. Number five, sins of Edom. Number five, looting. Let's take a look. Verse 13. It says, the Edomites, thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in their day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. In other words, whenever the Jews were in trouble or being attacked by someone else, the pesky Edomites would come in and loot the cities that were being destroyed by other nations. They were sort of kicking them while they were down, so to speak. So the sins of Edom along looting was another one. Number six, the sins of Edom hindering the escape of the Jews. Whenever the nations would come and try to crush the Jews and the Jews who were running for their lives, listen to what the Edomites did. Verse 14, neither should thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his, that is the Lord's, that did escape. Neither should have thou hast delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of their distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done to you. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. So when the Jews were running for their lives from whoever, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, or whatever conquering nation was coming, these horrible Edomites would find the running away Jews. There's a story. Do you remember when Jeremiah and the leader of Jerusalem that was left, there was a tiny remnant of Jews after the 586 attack of Jerusalem. Do you remember they tried to escape, but some Edomites came and captured Jeremiah and the group and took them for a while. And then they got thumped and then they went to Egypt. If you remember, there's a little sideline story where the Edomites came and pesky, you know, took Jeremiah captive for a few minutes. Stuff that they did. They just were constantly a burr under the saddle, so to speak, of the Jews. So trying to hinder their escape. Well, the sins of Edom, number seven, drunken celebration. Not only were they rejoicing that we saw in verse 12, but then they'd get sloshed and have a party to celebrate the destruction of the Jews. Verse 16, it says, for as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink and they shall swallow down and they shall be as though they had not been. That's a fancy way of saying they're going to drink themselves to death. And that's what the Lord predicts for the Edomites. Now, this is pretty much doom for Edom. And you're saying, Brett, doom and gloom for Edom. Okay, got it. Now, the last part of this, there's some hope. As we've seen the seven sins of Edom, now we kind of shift gears in verse 17 and talk about a bit of hope. And I love this. Verse 17, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Oh my, this verse, we could have done a whole sermon just on verse 17. First of all, when is deliverance actually gonna be on Mount Zion? And not just any deliverance. This says Mount Zion, and Zion's another name for Jerusalem and the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. So it says there's gonna be deliverance and there shall be holiness. When will there be holiness on Mount Zion? Anybody wanna jump in on that one? When Jesus returns. Christ is gonna come in his second coming and rule and reign from Jerusalem on Mount Zion. So this is a great prophecy about the millennial kingdom that's coming. Even in our time, it's in the future. There's hope. Even though it's way down the road from Obadiah's time, there's still hope coming for Jerusalem. But notice it says, and their house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. You Bible students recognize this, possess your possessions. Because the Lord kept telling the Jews, I want you to possess your possessions, and specifically the promised land. Go in and possess the promised land that I've promised you. Now, if you look at a map of Israel, which is kind of interesting, modern day Israel, the Arabs call them the dagger that splits the whole Arab world. It kind of looks like a knife, they say, and it splits all the Arab worlds. That's the way they look at the Jews. But did you know that the possessions in Numbers, the book of Numbers says, possess your possession. And here's the definition. The book of Numbers gives us the outline of the promised land that God says, this will be all of your land at some point in the future. Was it this that we see today? Not even close. You wanna know where Israel possessed more land than any other time? Was during the reign of Solomon. In fact, did you know that when Solomon did this, it was like 1/10 of the promised land that God promised the children of Israel. If you read the book of Numbers, there's a very clear definition from the Nile River in Egypt all the way up to Euphrates River, and then there's some north and south boundaries. If you draw a line of God's promise, this is the promised land according to the book of Numbers. Isn't it funny? The world says, Israel doesn't have a right to exist. They don't have a right to be in their land. They're occupiers and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But when all is said and done, this will be the size of Israel when? The millennial kingdom. When Christ comes and takes over, he's gonna possess their possession. That's the language of the book of Numbers, and verse 17 reminds us of that. Even though Israel's never really possessed their possession, the Lord says, I will do that there in verse 17. Kind of cool. Kind of neat. So verse 18, it goes on and says, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. That's a good thing. And the house of Esau for stubble. When you got stubble, that means the flame's gonna burn it. And they shall kindle in them and devour them. There shall be not any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken. And when the Lord speaks something, it's a done deal. The Edomites are toast. Verse 19, and they of the south shall possess the Mount of Esau, and the plain of the Philistines, that's in Gaza Strip today. They shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. That's the West Bank, by the way, which is interesting. The fields of Samaria and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. That's everything east of the Jordan River, that giant area from Jordan all the way over to Iraq. And the Lord says they shall possess all of that. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is at Sarephad, shall possess the cities of the south. Some people say that's Europe, when the Jews fled to Europe, they'll come back. Sarephad might be Spain. There's some people talking about the Spanish Jews that were there coming back into the land. That's a whole other topic. But I love verse 21, and saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The kingdom shall be the Lord's. Who wins? The word here, notice it's all capital letters when it says Lord. Whenever you see that in your Bible, capital L-O-R-D, that means it's legitimately, specifically, the word Jehovah, the God's name. It says here, the kingdom will ultimately be Jehovah's. So, as we wrap it up, what do we learn? Things to learn from Obadiah. Really quick, just a few things. Number one, what happens to those that reject God's word and blow off God's people and rebel with foolish pride? Destruction. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before. Now watch out for pride and arrogance. The Edomites are a symbol as a nation of what not to do. Let us learn the lesson of humility as a people group, as a nation. Number two, don't be surprised when the ungodly prosper for a season. The Edomites were very prosperous, and the Jews, remember the psalmist in Psalm 70, oh Lord, why do the wicked prosper? And he kind of moans about that for a whole chapter, but then at the end of Psalm 73, he says, but then I saw their end. Just like the Edomites, they lived large for 400 years, but then eventually they ended in doom. You might say, Brett, I don't like it that so many people are more successful and the wicked are prospering. I mean, look at it. All these wealthy people, Bill Gates, Beyonce, Oprah, Soros, Bezos. Come on, I'm a godly person. Hey, the wicked can prosper, and the Bible talks about that, but it's not about that. We see their end. The wicked who doesn't follow the Lord and doesn't believe in God, they're going down eventually. This life on earth is but a vapor. You and I have eternal life to look forward to with the Lord, where he's going to rule and reign forever. And then thirdly, Obadiah's book underscores the fact that God is just. And it's all going to come out in the wash. God's going to make righteousness prevail. And when it's all said and done, we'll all say righteous and true are his judgments. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 says, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, or I will repay, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Edomites blew this off and they got destroyed. Deliverance through Jesus Christ is the way to be saved, to follow Jesus, to believe in God's word. By the way, the one who responds in obedience to the grace of God has everything to gain, but the person who spurns his grace in pride has everything to lose. One of the lessons and the final lesson we learn is, man, follow the Lord, believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and be saved. And then we have salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord. But the Edomites just totally ignored that and they ended up destroyed. Don't be that person, but repent of your sins and follow Christ and be saved. Amen.
Pastor Brett Metter, drawing a reminder of God's offer of salvation, is offered as a free gift as he comes to a conclusion of our look into the Old Testament book of Obadiah in today's Word. And I trust you'll stay right there as Pastor Brett will join me in a moment with some final thoughts on Obadiah. But first, today's Word is the radio ministry of Athey Creek Church, just south of Portland, Oregon, where Pastor Brett Metter is the senior pastor. Our vision on today's Word is to proclaim the hope of salvation and help people know Jesus through careful study of the Bible. We invite you to find out more by going to todayswordradio.com. If you missed any portion of this study, you'll find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. All right, I have Pastor Brett with me now. As we've just concluded this short one-chapter book of Obadiah on today's Word, there's some pretty serious things that Obadiah shared from God in relation to how the people of Edom had mistreated Israel.
Yeah.
Brett, do you see any similarities to some of the nations and people today who treat Israel the same way? And if so, what do you believe God's plans are for those who treat Israel with that kind of disdain?
Well, Kurt, you know, when Israel was vulnerable and under attack, Edom didn't step in to help, and they just rejoice over the suffering and even took advantage of their position, their weakness. And God made it clear that this kind of attitude against God's people, the chosen Israel, wasn't going to go unnoticed. In Obadiah 1:15, it says, the Lord says, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done, it will be done unto thee. The old, you know, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That goes with nations as well. And that's what this book really has told us. Obadiah talks about how you treat Israel is going to matter for you. And, you know, we see that in modern days. October 7th, a couple of years ago, some of the world rejoiced and some of the world grieved. And I believe those behaviors of nations are still going to be held accountable for the way they viewed Israel. In fact, there's a judgment coming Jesus talked about called the judgment of the sheep and the goats. And that's largely going to be linked to God judging the nations. How did you treat my people? And interesting that people, even in some church circles, have neglected to care for Israel the way that the Bible prescribes.
Well, that's a great reminder, Pastor Brett, from Scripture, and in this case, from the Old Testament book of Obadiah, that God does look at nations and people, even today, and how they treat his chosen people. Thank you, Brett. Well, as we wrap up this book from the prophet Obadiah, I want to mention that if you'd like more information about Athey Creek Church, Pastor Brett Metter, or Today's Word, you can visit our website at todayswordradio.com. Well, that's all the time we have. Next time, Pastor Brett Metter will jump into a book from one of the most famous men in the Bible, and that's the prophet Jonah. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.